Blog Talk Radio.
Ah, the British lady says it's time to get started as we celebrate the beginning of season 3 of ScaryCast. Yes, we made it for 3 years, and it's so good to have so many of our great co-hosts with us tonight. As I introduce them, first of all, the queen of ScaryCast, originally from Michigan, Miss Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing great. Glad to be here.
All right, tell us what you just told us about the weather.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to have a meteor shower tonight. I just read it a few minutes ago, which makes sense considering all the wacky stuff going on. But, yeah, we're supposed to have a meteor shower tonight.
Well, that's good. We'll be watching for it later. Papa Stroh, how are you doing tonight? Thanks for being with us at the beginning of season 3.
Great to be here. I'm holding out for the meteors tonight. I can't wait. Excited.
Yep, absolutely. It's going to be something else. We're so glad to have you here. And from the murder capital of the world, Harlan, Kentucky, Tony Filosi, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. It's good to be back. I've had to miss a couple, but I've missed everyone. I'm excited about the show.
Well, I am really excited about the show. As I said, we made it to season 3. We got a lot of great things coming up in the next couple of months for ScaryCast, and I'll just save the news for later. Anyway, tonight we have a good friend and a wonderful paranormal investigator. He's out all the time with his equipment. He's just great to be able to pick up EMPs and all that. Shane Hollis from Somerset, Kentucky. How are you doing tonight, Shane?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, John?
Oh, I'm great. We're glad to have you here as we usher in season 3 of ScaryCast. You got just a lot that you've done when you're out exploring for ghosts. I'd like for you to start out and tell us the story about what happened. There's a certain chapel up there, and when you went up there and you just turned the recorder on and you said basically hello, you remember that story, don't you?
Are you talking about Soul's Chapel?
Soul's Chapel.
You're talking about?
Yes, sir, I am. Wait just one second. We got one more host. We have one more host to introduce from our man from Hollywood, Devin Tate. How are you tonight, Devin?
Hey, John, I'm great. Thank you. I'm here. Howdy.
That's right.
Hey,
the whole crowd is here.
Yay.
That's, of course, the queen of ScaryCast. And, Devin, just in case you didn't know, tonight marks the beginning of season 3 of ScaryCast. You have been with me since the beginning, and we're still here. Isn't that great?
That is awesome.
And got lots of great things coming on. So anyway, tonight our guest is Shane Hollis from Somerset, Kentucky. He's going to tell us about going to Soul's Chapel and how easy it is to pick up voices of spirits
great.
There. That's right. That's
well,
right.
Welcome, Shane.
Yeah.
Hello. How's everybody?
We're all glad
great.
You're here.
Shane,
now tell us about going up there. And how easy it is to pick up disembodied voices with just a tape recorder, right?
About any time that you go there, I mean you're prone to get some kind of activity, and like I said, EVP is very common there. I've got a bunch of EVPs over the years.
There have been a lot of people report a lot of negative activity, stuff like that going on there, but or negative entities and things. But everything that I've recorded as far as EVPs from there has been all pretty polite. Anything from like children, like men, everything's been polite. Women, there was one lady that, well, we went, there was a group that we'd taken there one evening, and it was it hadn't even really got dark yet. It was a little bit before dark, and my cousin was sitting on the the steps of what used to, I mean, the chapel was burnt down back in, like, probably like the early 2000s. So, but all that's there now is like some steps, and then you got the cemetery. But anyways, my cousin, he was just sitting on the steps and pressed record, and was recording, asking a few questions. And later on when we played, he recorded several series of recordings, but later on when we was analyzing it, listening to the recordings, there was a female, and she said hi. And at first I thought it was one of the females that was out in the group that was there, so I just kept on listening past it, and then I heard hi again. And then I heard it late farther in the tape, heard hi again. So I went back to where I first started hearing hi and listened, and it was the same female voice, and she says hi, and she's got like a southern accent to her, and she says hi, and I don't know how many times, but repeatedly. And then when the recording, after about 5 minutes, we had stopped the recording and started again. And then the second recording picked her up again, hearing her say hi. I mean, like several times. And sorry, like I said, and I mean, we've, over the years, like I said, we've caught a lot of EVPs from there, and a lot of voices just saying hey, or like hello, things like that, and hi. But I mean, we've even one EVP we got one night. A friend's wife had headphones on while I was using the voice recorder, so she was able to hear this, some of the EVPs that came through in real time. But anyways, we had like a, she had, like I said, had the headphones on the voice recorder, and I had her holding a mail meter, which has like a REM pod like feature built into it. And anyways, I asked
now
her
explain what that means, Shane, because some of us may not know what that means.
Okay, the REM pod is kind of like, it's a piece of equipment that has an antenna that you pull out from the top of it, and it's got some lights around it on the top, and it produces,
okay,
when you turn it on, it produces a radiant energy field around the antenna. And when you get your hand or part of your body or whatever near that field of energy around the antenna, it disrupts it and makes lights around the antenna light up. And
oh wow.
But it's kind of like a proximity sensor. I mean, the closer you get to it, the more it lights up more and lets you know that something's breaking the energy field around it. And so, but anyways, the mail meter that I have, the model, it has a feature like that, has an antenna. And so when I asked for something to touch it, it lit up just the first light, like a little blue light, for a split second, made an audible sound that something was disrupting the energy field. And then we had a motion detector go off, and then we got an EVP, and you could hear a little girl, like, giggle, and then she said, he said, hi. And then after that, my friend's wife, she asked, she said, can you tell us your name? And then she giggled again, and you can hear her say Heather. And then a little bit after that, my friend's wife asked her, well, she asked again, she said, what about your age? Can you tell us how old you are? And very clearly you could hear, it wasn't the young girl that we had been hearing in the previous EVPs. it was a man that answered, and he said six, but very faint. I meant like a very clear, but a distinct, like six. And I mean, it was very clear. Some very clear EVPs have come through from there.
Now, what kind of recorder do you use? It's just a simple recorder, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a simple Sony digital voice recorder. I mean, that's what
just one,
that's the
one
type
you can hold in your hand, right?
Yeah. Now, this night here, when she was experiencing all this, she had a pair of headphones on, plugged into the voice recorder, so you can hear it. Whenever you press record, it amplifies you'll be able to hear what the voice recorder is recording, but it amplifies sound. I mean, very, very, I mean, like a lot of minutes. I mean, really high up. I mean, you can hear really extremely, like if you're in a quiet situation, I mean, you can really hear real good. Plus, whenever your EVP comes through, sometimes if it's audible enough, like a high enough level of volume, you can hear it in real time. But
wow, that's great. Now, I want to ask Tony a question, because, Tony, you do a lot of work recording EVPs, don't you?
Yeah, quite a bit.
And do you use just the same type of simple setup like Sean does, like Shane does?
Pretty well. I mean, I use a Tascam recorder, then I use some Sonys, and then I'll use sometimes I'll use the Spirit Boxes of a PSB-11. Or I tell you what, I've had a lot of luck out of for really, really clear EVPs is a box manufactured by Steve Holte. And if you're in the right location, everything's, going well, that thing will produce some phenomenal EVPs. And, it's in how you frame your question, too. It's like whenever you use a ghost box, my take on it is if you don't get an intelligent answer, then it's just chatter, And if you say, what's your name, and that Joe Bob was murdered there 10 years ago, and he says, Joe Bob, you go, what happened to you, Joe Bob? And he says, I was murdered. Then you're interacting with something. So I try to be real careful how I frame my questions. And I've got a little thing that I do where I shave my head. So obviously if you shave your head, you don't have no hair. So I'll pull my hat off, and I'll ask them, what color is my hair? And I've had responses like bald, and then I had one about a week ago. I'm working two pretty big cases right now, and I asked the question, pulled my hat off, and it's clear as a bell. I go, sunny. So, to answer that, yeah, I use a very similar approach.
And how much now comes the good question. How much is that spirit box that you were talking about? About what did that cost?
Holte's box, I think they're somewhere around $400, something like that. I bought mine from
how much?
From a friend.
About 800?
He $400.
Okay.
He upgraded to like the what's the guy's name? I think Brown. I forget the name of his box. This is one of the high dollar ones, but I get just as many EVPs with Holte's boxes as they do with the more expensive boxes. And you can go down to, and even like with the old PSB-7s, you can get a lot of good EVPs with those. But usually your clearest EVPs come from just a straight up and down using a digital recorder or a tape recorder. So I try to split everything.
See, that's what they used at my house years ago. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to interrupt you. I just happened to think of that.
Uh-huh.
Years ago, I had a researcher that came out, and he originally had come out to go outside at my house and visit with the dogmen and the Bigfoot. And he also did ghost hunting. And so he brought this little recorder, this little handheld recorder, and he probably didn't pay a whole bunch for it. But all we did was we were sitting in the house. We'd come out. We were outside with the Bigfoots, and he came back in. And we were sitting there, and he had it on record while we were all talking. So a little while later, he said, "You guys, I was recording while we were all talking." And I said, "Okay." And there was a little girl's voice on it. She was talking about my cat and that she thought the cat was pretty. And she kept calling me Mommy because her mom wasn't there. She just started calling me Mommy because my kids always call me Mommy.
Huh. That's awesome. But the way that Shane's doing it, what he's getting, you know, with his mail meter and his digital recorder and the motion sensor, he's getting double and triple validation is what you want. You know,
yep.
So when you can get that, man, that's knocking it out of the park. You know, you always want to get double.
And then,
triple is great, man, but double is good,
mm-hmm.
triple is great.
And the good thing is that moment or that night there, whenever had the mail meter, had the voice recorder going, and it recorded the sound of the mail meter whenever it got a hit. You could hear it
beep,
and then you could hear the motion detector like not even really a split second later.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear it go off, and then you hear the EVP startup coming through. And like I said, it was just a really good moment there. It got all that activity like that. And the girl that was using the headphones with the voice recorder and the mail meter, she said she felt like a little girl was, or like, well, not really a little girl, but like a child was around her leg. And that was what the EVPs that come through, like a young, it's like a young girl. It's not like she said her name was Heather.
Right. Are you filming this? Are you filming it?
I think that night there, I think we did film it. This is an incident that it's happened a while back. It was, I don't know, probably about maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
But, I mean, that's some good evidence, man. I would try to set up a static cam. And film that. If you're getting that kind of evidence, I would set up a static cam and try to capture that, because when you're getting that, I don't know where the video went. My computer crashed. A buddy of mine has it, and I can't get him turned back loose of it. But I have some where that, like the motion detectors you're talking about. I love both because what I did in some of my experiments is I would put put the initial one down, then 3 or 4 feet,
mm-hmm.
you know, put another one down 3 or 4 feet and put them in line. And then
mm-hmm.
I've actually had not a whole lot now, but on the, you know, several occasions, you would say, "Hey, can you move up here? Can you talk to us?" And you have one motion detector go off, then the second, then the third. And you know, I don't have it on video, so, you know, it's just you have to take my word for it. But I love those motion detectors like that.
Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of luck with them. I mean, in a lot of places that you wouldn't, like, we set them up, and they're not even go off, and then, like I said, take them to other places, and then they start going off. Now, like out there at that Souls Chapel, that right prior to all this activity, the motion detector they had in a tree facing some woods that's nearby, it started alarming. And then another one that was in another area of the cemetery, it started alarming, like letting us know it had motion. And then it kept going off back and forth for a while. And then finally I asked them to stop, and it stopped. And then that's whenever I had my friend's wife stand on the opposite side of the tree that where the motion detector was at, and she was using the headphones and the voice recorder and the mail meter, and I was speaking and like I said, and that's when we got all that round of activity.
Right.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. Now, several more of us have some interesting stories. I think Papa Stroh has got one of the most interesting stories I've ever heard. Now, Papa Stroh, you were filming a film at about 3 o'clock in the morning. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, I got to forget. It was for a film called,
yep,
actually, The Hollow Oak.
Yep.
And the film's about a story about this tree that has a history in which back in the day it was used to hang witches by witch hunters. And that was the focus, you know, with the film. And we're shooting a scene where the witch is getting ready to be hung by the witch hunters, and which I'm betraying one of the witch hunters. And we're in set. This is like 3 o'clock at night out in the forest, right? Dead at night. And we got the cameras rolling and production and everything. And the sound lady says, guys, you got to hear this. And so he did the playback, right? And during one of our scenes, there were faint voices repeating our lines. And we're like looking around, you know, the woods there, seeing if there's anybody else around, but there's nobody around. And happened to come across this graveyard site we didn't know about, which was just down the path from the woods when we were shooting, right? And on the graveyard site was a bunch of unmarked epitaphs. So we're thinking, well, maybe we have some supernatural fans, if you will, watching the film, the scene.
Wow.
But we're getting EVPs through the sound lady that was doing the sound. It was crazy.
That's amazing. Now, Robin has a story. Robin and Papa Stroh and Tony were all together with us down at the Somerville Comic-Con when we did an episode of Murder 123. And we were doing the case of Lavinia Fisher, who happened to have been hung by the city of Charleston for crimes that she did not commit. Robin and Tony and Papa Stroh, does this ring a bell?
Oh, yeah. That was amazing.
Go at it, Robin. Tell us what happened. And Tony, jump right in if you want to. Papa Stroh, you as well.
Well, we had the mic on and we had the amplifying equipment. And as we were talking, she was trying to connect with everybody. And you could hear her. You know, and some of the words were legible, some of them wasn't. But it was really interesting because we're talking and Papa Stroh sitting next to me, and he's cracking up. He's laughing. And I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and we're like, can you believe this? And you could hear it. I mean, she had a lot to say. She was just going into town.
Wow.
And we had Tony on speakerphone, so he could hear it.
Yeah, I heard it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was crazy.
But then there was this huge, tall Santa Claus. And it was standing upright behind where Papa Stroh and I were sitting. And it had been there all day long. Nobody bumped it. Nobody was near it. And while all this was going on, all of a sudden that thing just went flying and fell over.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. It really
she
was.
She was mad.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't the nicest person in town, but she didn't do what she was accused of. She did all kinds of horrible crimes, but it wasn't that.
Yeah, they wanted her property to build a naval base on. So the best way to get her property was to hang her and her husband. I mean,
she was evil, don't get me wrong. But she didn't need extra stuff. She did enough bad stuff all by herself.
And I remember when that Santa Claus came down, and we all just kind of looked at each other. Okay.
And Papa Stroh and I are looking at each other, and we just busted out laughing. We don't move. It fell directly behind us. I mean, neither one of us moved out of our seat. We just looked at each other and started laughing.
Bah humbug.
No.
Yeah, Lavinia was right there. And
it was like, all right,
she
then.
We were talking about her. I mean, it's amazing what you can do with a recorder. And if I'm not mistaken, we recorded that, and we have that on the ScaryCast website under a Murder 123 episode. I'll see if I can find that, and I'll post it, because you can hear all this activity going on. It was just, I mean, it was amazing.
It was crazy.
It was amazing.
Things are moving around. She's talking and getting upset and getting mad. And the whole time, Papa Stroh and I are sitting next to each other just cracking up. You know, and I tried to, you know, she was telling me, and she's like, I didn't do it. I did so many things, and nobody even knows what I did. I didn't do this, and that's what people will remember me by. And they stole my property, and she was really mad.
Wow.
That's amazing. Now, Devin, we haven't heard from our man in Hollywood. Have you ever, now, when you went out and you did that wonderful, wonderful video for the Lizard Man Festival, you remember you and I forget who all else went out there and did that? Did you guys have any kind of strangeness that you picked up in your recording equipment?
Gosh, I'll have to go back and look. Yeah, I didn't see any, I didn't hear anything at that time. The only thing I can relate on this topic is I did go out on Hollywood Boulevard with a friend of mine, Kathleen, who does a lot of ghost, you know, she studies ghost stories, and she's very knowledgeable on the paranormal. And she was taking recordings of a little spot called Bordner's. It's a really old bar just off Hollywood Boulevard. And she got quite a bit of, you could hear quite a bit of voices and activity there in this little alleyway. So that was pretty creepy to see that and hear that there.
So this was a speakeasy or a bar that had been there or was currently there?
It's actually still there, but it's been open for a long, long time. So. And there's a lot of stories and, you know, scandals and things that have happened there. So it was really no surprise that there would be some sort of, you know, paranormal activity there. But just to actually see the meter read out and hear the kind of voices coming through, it was really, really amazing.
Could you hear some of the words specifically?
You know, we couldn't make out any of the words, and, you know, it was on a tour that we were on, so unfortunately we didn't have time to really delve into that, but I'd love to go back there and do some more research.
That'd be great if you would, and maybe we could bring her on the show and all that. Why don't we can talk about that later, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be just phenomenal, especially... with where we're going with ScaryCast, I think that would be wonderful. We've all had all kinds of stories. Now, I have a story from this weekend. It's not exactly this a ghost story, but I had a phenomenal experience happen to me about 9:30 on Friday night. Robin knows what I'm getting ready to say. I had been out running some errands and things like that, and I got back about 9:30 at night. And the way Robin's house is situated, she's got a big front lawn, and she parks her car in the middle of the front yard. And I normally park my car on the right-hand side of her car. And so her car was sitting in front of the steps that go up to her. She's got a small porch, and then you go inside, and then there's the house. So I sat there for just a moment, and I was just reading something on my phone, and I looked up, and there was a large, large figure that was walking down the stairs. I couldn't make it out much, but and I guess it was kind of strange because she had the front porch light on, and I just realized that the front porch light was on, but I really couldn't make out the face of who it was, but I assumed it was her husband, Pat. And Pat's kind of a big guy, and I said, and so I opened the door. I said, "Hey, Pat, did you leave something in the car?" And the figure kind of vanished on the left side of the car. And I got out and I closed the door and I walked around her car, and there was nothing there. And I realized I had just seen a Bigfoot. It was
They have been so active here lately. And I noticed today, we have, I had an old love seat, and I just didn't have any place to put it. It was driving me crazy, and the dogs had claimed it as theirs, so it was all icky. So I told Pat, I said, "We're getting it out of here." So he sat it out in the yard, and he said, "I'll just drive it, you know, I'll drag it back to the burn fire pit, and I'll just burn it." And I said, "You're not going to burn that whole love seat at one time. It'll burn the whole woods down. So you're going to have to cut it up." And he said, "Okay." Well, we have been going, and John knows, we have been going nonstop for like 2-3 weeks now. It's just bizarre. And so I said to him, I said, "We look like one of the Clampets. Like, I don't want this love seat sitting in my yard. It's just like driving me crazy." He said, "Oh, well, I can't do it till my day off." So he drug it over on the side of the house by the garage so that nobody could see it. And I had this plastic tub that I wanted to use. And so that was out there, too, because I wanted it scrubbed out. And so he had that next to it, and you couldn't see it. And we were outside today, and I looked over there, and something has dragged that love seat and moved it like 3 or 4 feet and turned it cockeyed from being straight. And the plastic tub has now been pulled out in front of the garage. I was like,
wow.
I know. It's what the point was for that, I have no idea. And 2 weeks before John saw that one out here, I was in the bedroom. I was sleeping, couldn't sleep. So I was watching TV. And from my bedroom, you can look out the one window and see straight to, I have two dog kennels for foster dogs out there. And they're out front because I don't want them near my dogs because most of the time when we get them, they're sick. And so I can look right out that window and see those kennels. So I know if there's any problems or anything's going on. And I looked out there. And all I saw was this big white shoulders and head, and it was like 2 to 3 feet above the kennel. And the kennel's 6 foot tall. And one of the dogs is white that was out there, and I thought, what is she climbing on? So I got up, and I go to the window. I'm watching it again. And I realized there's no – the kennel that it was standing behind had no doghouse in it. There's nothing in there for anybody to stand on, and it's empty. There's nobody in it. And as I'm seeing that, I look over and I saw the white dog somewhere else. So she wasn't even near it. But it was bizarre. I watched it. When I got my glasses, I thought maybe I was seeing things. And you could see the back shoulder panel from one side to the other in the back of the head. And then it would bend down, and it was petting the dog is what it was doing. It would bend down, and then it would stand up. It'd bend down, it'd stand back up. Then it'd turn. Then it'd bend down, and it'd stand back up. And it was out there for, I bet you, a good 20 minutes before I saw it turn. And then it just vanished. It went into the bushes. A month ago, everybody was in the backyard. We had everything back there. Dogmen, Bigfoot, ETs, you name it. There was stuff back there. I have no idea to this day what those things are. But they were all playing nice. Nobody was fighting and carrying on and screaming and hollering. Set the dogs off all day long. And you could see different things walking between the trees, but, you know, they were behaving themselves. I mean, apparently it was a slumber party at my house. I didn't get invited.
Well, that's okay.
Other than they kept
us
up all night.
Well, you probably didn't want to get invited to that one. I know that.
No, I think that was all them. Yeah, they can have that
first
one.
Night,
I'm all right with that.
And I was there. I think, Papa Stroh, the first night that you and I stayed at Robin's house, I was more entertaining than the Bigfoot, wasn't I?
You were. It was a riot.
You were on a roll that night.
I was terrified. I was terrified. I mean, her trees are shaking and moving all this, and there's no wind. I mean, that was like, you know, that was like just absolutely terrifying. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to go inside. And then I went outside on the back porch with Robin. And then there was this light moving around the back. And I looked up at the house, and there was nobody with a flashlight. There was a light was just moving around. And then I think probably the scariest thing at Robin's house, and I don't think I'd really ever told this, but an artist and I had stayed there, and we were leaving, oh, I don't know, it was like 5:30 in the morning, and it was dark. And so we were driving down the road, and entities would pop up, and then they would disappear. The whole distance of her road, it was terrifying.
Wow.
And Robin said they were just checking you out. I guess they were.
Yeah.
Are you near any cave systems?
Terrifying.
Am I what?
Cave systems? You anywhere near cave systems or anything like that? You know
anyway,
about?
I'm sorry, it's coming in crooked. I can't
caves?
Hear it. It's fuzzy.
Caves? Are you near?
Oh, you know what? I'm not really sure because I'm not from here. So, unfortunately, I don't know a lot of the surrounding areas. To my knowledge, no. I know we're like 2 hours from the mountains. So, if there's mountains, there's caves. But I do know with them, even if they're in a situation where there's not a cave system for them, they'll make homes underground. I mean, they have no problem doing it.
Right. Right. I've literally watched.
Yeah, there's rivers and waterways all through here. But I mean, I've literally watched them look down at the ground, open up the ground, and go in it. I mean, and then the ground closes up. It's bizarre. And then one day, I have pictures of portals here in the yard. The one I have got a head coming out of it.
I would love
coming out of the left corner, and then above it you'll see a triangular shaped craft.
That's cool.
I mean,
wow.
We've got a couple of them. I had one. There was one that was really pretty, and unfortunately, when I saw it, I didn't have my camera. I had walked outside, and when I walked out on the porch, I looked up and I looked to the left part of the yard, and there was this, it was hanging in the air about 15 feet up in the air, probably the size of a large tractor trailer tire. And it had all these the most gorgeous colors in there, all these pastels and everything, and it was darker on the bottom, and it was all swirled at the top. And then the swirl changed, and it looked like you were in a star system. And I looked at that. I was in shock. I didn't know what it was. I didn't see any beings. I just saw that. And every now and then you'd see what appeared to be like a lightning strike or something. And so I said to them, I said, who is it? Who is this? And they said, we're here. And I said, oh, they never told me who they were. And I said, okay. I said, why are you showing me this? And they said, you showed me your world. Now we're showing you ours. And I went to go step off the porch to get closer to it. And it was like somebody sucked it up in a straw and it was gone. I mean, that was the whole thing. Where I've seen portals open and close, you know, I've done portal work myself. I've seen them open up in the ground, in the trees, whatever. But this literally was like at an incline going up, and it looked like somebody just sucked it up in a straw, and it was gone.
Wow.
The first time I've seen it that, you know, it gets sucked up like that. And the other ones are generally, it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't show the way this one did.
I know in the paranormal that, you know, I'm sure Shane's experiences too, that there's no activity. It's pardon the pun, it's just dead. And then all of a sudden there'll be a change, and then it goes bananas. And I'm a believer in portals and paranormal portals and wormholes and things like that. What do you think about that, Shane? What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'm like you. I believe there are portals in different places that, like I said, at the right time it opens up, and all kinds of activity and spirits travel through. And I'm
more and more convinced. I'm pretty analytical and skeptical. And whenever I first started with cryptids, you know, I thought, well, how in the world could an 8 or 10 foot creature just disappear? You know, there's no logic to it. And then you would be, you run into a track line, and I was following the track line, and it was just like gone. It, you know, I've hunted a lot my time, and I've tracked a lot, and I've done things. I mean, just gone. No, not a tree that they could jump up on, and get, it didn't turn into from soft ground to rocky ground. The ground was all the same. It's just going along, and no more, nothing, no more tracks. I how do you explain that?
Yeah.
You know?
As, speaking of that, there, and there's a that show or that docuseries that John Mann was talking about a little earlier, Hellier.
Yeah.
In the second season, in the second season, where they're talking to Kyle Cadell, which is a guy that owns the International Paranormal Museum Research Center here in Somerset. They were talking with him and a couple other guys, and they mentioned a road that's in northern, just north of, like northeast of Somerset. It's a highway, 39, and it's not too far. That highway is not too far from where I live at. But anyways, they were talking on there about some of the strange things that's activity and things going out in that area. And one of the things they mentioned, they said somebody had witnessed something like a Bigfoot or like a Yeti. I don't know what color it was, but they seen it like walking across the road, and then it was like it just went into like a portal, just disappeared.
Yeah, yeah. I had one. We live on a dirt road, and it curves through the woods. And as you're going down the one way, you cross over this little tiny creek, and then you go up a little hill. But there, it's not a very wide road. I mean, it's basically a two-track. But they had cut this two-track down through a bunch of rocks. So there's like this one section that has rock walls on it. And I was coming down the road, coming back to my house one day. And as I turned the corner, because it's all curves and loops around, turned the corner, I literally saw a black Bigfoot come down through a path that was next to the rock wall on the right-hand side, cross the road, look at me, keep on walking, and then just walk right into the rock, and then you didn't see him anymore.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, it was crazy.
That would be.
I mean, you go to the rock, and there's nothing there, and you're pounding on the rock thinking, you know, maybe you missed something, and you didn't.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's just on the other side laughing at you.
Yeah, always. Usually.
Oh, my goodness.
But I would love to come and investigate, you know, set out some equipment and try to catch some of this, the portals.
Honey, you can come anytime you want.
Because I love doing it all, man. I'm just not.
Yeah. We had a security camera out front, and it was like watching a freak show. It was hysterical. We got so many pictures of portals opening and closing and moving around. We got a picture of a black Bigfoot and a white Bigfoot walking around the cars. It wasn't very clear, but you could definitely see the movement and the shape and what color they were. And then we have one. I've got a still photo, and it looks like a person sitting on the steps of the porch. But what's so bizarre about it is we saw it through the security camera, and because there was movement there, it recorded it. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, tomorrow I'm going to sit in that same spot and see how it shows me so I can get an estimate of how big this one was. So I went out there and I had my phone with me. And, of course, you know, everything has a phone app. So I'm sitting on the porch in the exact same spot and I'm looking on my phone app and watching the video as it's recording me. You couldn't see me. I am not a little woman. I am not easy to miss. And You literally couldn't see me. And then, you look at the other picture, and it looks like, you know, it's just a human sitting on the porch. It doesn't look like it's a big deal. But we have a youngster that's out in that part of the woods. His name is Zerky, and he has been there for a while, and he's getting older, and he's the one, I think, that we saw on the porch. Either that or it was, you know, one part of the clan that was sitting there watching. It was bizarre. But, I mean, they'll shape shift. They'll do anything. I've watched them from the house. I was in the house, and I watched it go along my bushes by my garage, come up to the front of the house, and it was just outside the front porch on, sitting on the bottom step. And I'm watching it from the house. And it got up, and you know how when we were kids, we waddled like a duck, so you'd be sitting basically in the back of your calf. And you'd waddle. And it did that all the way to the middle of the front yard. And in the middle of the front yard, for the birds, I was putting down bird seed. And he waddled over to that while, you know, doing this little duck walk while he's sitting on his back of his calf. He walks over there, he took a couple handfuls of bird seed. And then I'm looking at him. The next thing I know, there's a raccoon there. And he's gone, but there's now a raccoon.
Shapeshift.
And the raccoon stood up on its hind legs and looked around, and then it just ran off. It never ate the food. It didn't do anything. Didn't even act like a raccoon.
Do you have any shadow people activity?
Yeah, on and off. I caution everybody to, for their own sake, for their family's sake, do not talk to these things. Do not mess with these things. They're supposed to be neutral. They're not supposed to pick a side. Some of them are dangerous. I had an episode with one, and my son died because of it. And this is not something that people need to play around with. You know, if they try to see one, if you see one, if it tries to mind speak with you, you block it, you don't acknowledge it in any way, shape, or form. Once they start following you home, it's bad.
Yeah,
because Devin had an experience with a shadow person. Where was that, Devin?
That was up in the Hollywood Hills by the Chateau Marmont.
And just give us the story on that one. That was a really neat story.
Yeah, you can't tease us. Yeah. Come with it.
Well, that one, I was walking down the hills. I'd been up in the hills at a friend's house, and then when I was walking down, I saw this person, you know, looked like a gentleman that was maybe 6 foot or taller, you know. He looked pretty tall, looked like he was wearing a hat, you know, kind of just a silhouetted black figure. And as I got closer to him, I kind of just didn't want to engage. You know, something about him just told me not to engage. So I kind of walked a little bit faster. And then as soon as I passed where he would have been, my hair just stood up on my arms and I got this chill. And I kind of started walking a little bit faster. And I turned around to look, and there was nobody there, even though he had just been there like literally a second ago. So I kind of just took off and ran. And then a little while later, a few weeks later, is when I had my friend Raphael, who has been on this show before. He did a cleansing ritual on me because I felt I could feel negative energy all around me ever since then. So he did that to me, and it worked, and I have not seen anything like that since then. But it was definitely very disturbing.
Yeah, like I said, they're supposed to be neutral. I tell people don't acknowledge them. Don't do anything so that they think that you're having contact with them. Don't engage in them for your own sake. Like I said, I know what it's like to lose someone because of them. It's very real.
I'm working a huge Shadow Man case right now. I'm working two pretty big cases, but the one of them is a shadow person case. It's multi-generational. It goes back probably 30 years or so, and they definitely weren't neutral. They tormented this family, tormented them, and there's a good possibility that the owner of the home that this is happening in, before these people got it, like two owners before that, drove her insane, and everybody thought she was had just lost her mind and didn't pay much attention to her, and it even went as far with her. She was an older lady, and it completely changed her personality. And my buddy has a garage beside it, like they worked on old cars, like collector cars and stuff like that, and she came out in the yard, started just cursing and shooting at him with a revolver. She would hear voices coming out of the vents and out of the walls. And, you know, we have access to this location right now. I'm looking for the bullet hole. So she, toward the back, toward the laundry room, where she would hear a lot of that activity, and she would shoot into the wall. So these things are definitely not your friend. And we have have two pieces of footage, actually three, but two really some of the best Shadow Man footage out there. You can see them come up and try to manifest and go back down, come back up, it's hard to explain, but it's like he's kind of semi-squatted down like a sprinter before a race, and you can see his head turn and look, and then looks back, and then takes off and goes around the room. And then another one where he just manifests straight up. And you can see his arms and stuff moving. I mean, it's not like, you know. And another one where he manifests straight up out of the floor. And these are called security cams. Straight up out of the floor. Wow. And just walks. And walks through the freaking wall. And we're doing, working that case right now. And I can tell you, when you go in there, when you first go in, it's okay. And then once the activity starts, you know, you do your EVP sessions and things like that, it gets super, super heavy, oppressive. Not even heavy, it's more oppressive is the best way I can, the best way I can explain it. But they're not your friends.
Yep, everybody's got to be careful with all this stuff going on around you. You really
do.
Yeah,
not everything is nice. It really isn't. I mean, we'd like to think it is, but not everything wants to be our buddy or our friend. And there are things that will lie to you to get you to do what they want you to do or to believe what they want you to believe.
Yes.
Absolutely.
A lot of paralysis, you know, is real common. With the shadow people. So they have to terrorize you so they feed off that energy.
Well, and they will project emotions on you and make you think things are a certain way when they're not.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yep, so you just got to be careful around all this. And this is what we've learned. I'll tell you what, Shane, would you like to close us out with one really good story? You and I have discussed so many stories as we've talked, but pick a story that you like, that you find is interesting, and tell us about it as we close out the first show of the third season of ScaryCast.
I had a lot of good experiences at the Perryville Battlefield. And
oh yeah, can you tell about can you tell about the little drummer boy? That's a great story.
The story John's talking about, there's a book I have. It's called Haunted Battlefields of the South by a guy named Brian Bush, and I think another guy named Thomas Freeze or something like that. But the story, the guy that wrote it, Brian Bush, he's a reenactor, and now he is the park manager of Perryville Battlefield in Perryville, Kentucky. And Perryville was, the largest Civil War battle. I mean, that's where the largest Civil War battle that took place in Kentucky is Perryville. And anyways, this guy, Brian Bush, he has a lot of stories where he's a reenactor, and he's been around a lot of reenactors at times, some of the reenactments. And so over a period of time, he's collected ghost stories from different experiences that they've had. And one of the stories, the reenactors had some camps set up near where the the museum and visitor centers at when you come to Perryville Battlefield. And as they were, they had their, like I said, had their camp set up, and it was getting, everybody woke up one morning. It was getting time, they was fixing to start cooking breakfast and things like that. And so they had seen this, I think some of the reenactors that were sitting around the fire talking and everything, I don't know at what point, but anyways, they seen this little boy, and they described kind of like a drummer boy. And anyways, he was sitting around where with the reenactors, and they were talking with him a little bit. And anyways, when it came, when the camp cook for the reenactment camp, when it came time for the breakfast to be ready for everybody to get their breakfast, they told him to get a plate because he didn't have a plate. And so everybody got in line, was getting their breakfast, and after everybody got their food, got set back down, they didn't see him anymore. He was gone. And so after day eight, they went around asking around other camps and stuff, looking for him, just telling other reenactors what he looked like and was looking for him, and nobody had seen him. He wasn't in any of the other camps or nothing. And whenever they went up to the visitor center, I guess some of the people at the visitor, I think lady that runs the visitor center, maybe her or someone there, they told the ones that was looking for him that there's been other people report seeing a little boy around the visitor center up there in the museum and everything. But anyways, they believe he's a little drummer boy. And me and John, I was telling John about him, and John, he got some information that come through to him about him. And me and John was planning on trying to communicate with him whenever he came up.
Yeah, we weren't able to because of COVID, but seems as though he was injured, and then the next day he was captured, and about 6 months later he died. So he lived his last 6 months in captivity of the Union soldiers. Who knows what all he had to go through, and it was just horrible.
Yeah, you were saying you felt like he had been picked on and everything.
Yeah, it was just a shame. But anyway, so, you know, there have been a lot of experiences there. Maybe if COVID will, if COVID will go away, we can all visit and have some really interesting times. So let's hope that these new vaccines will work, and that we'll be able to do that. It appears as though, according to the news, we've got two vaccines that might really have some promise right now. So let's all just hope that happens. And you know, it's been a lot of fun here on our third anniversary show. We've had a great guest. We've had Shane Aulis. We've got the whole cast and crew here. We've got Papa Stroh. We've got Robin. We've got Tony. And we got Devin. And I've been here talking and having a great time. So like Papa Stroh showed us on WCW Retro, he showed us that what we do is we go around and we let everyone do their plugs and what they got going on in the next week or so. And so I'm going to start out with Papa Stroh. What you got going on in the next week or two?
Well, In the Room podcast tomorrow night at 19 Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. Thursday night, WCW Retro at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. And we'll be discussing the greatest women wrestlers in history. That'll be the topic for Thursday's WCW Retro. And then Friday night, it's my sci-fi horror show called The Stroh Zone on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro. And it'll be at midnight Eastern Standard Time, and this Friday night's feature will be the original film of The Day the Earth Stood Still. So please tune in.
All right. It's a great film, Papa.
Thank you.
I love those old
ones. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, Tony, since you spoke up, what have you got going on in the next week or so?
What I want to do is make an announcement. It's something I wanted to be on Scarecast for the only other part was on the other two people that know it is Darla and Jenny. But as you guys know, I've done a whole lot of research on the Manzo Shepherd case here in Harlan County. I was contacted by a lady a couple of days ago, sent me an email, and she is the either granddaughter or great-granddaughter of Howard Hensley that was part of the crew with Manzo that killed the taxi cab driver.
Wow.
Now, Howard Hensley had a son named Stanley. Stanley's now 86 years old. He wants to speak with me. He was in the courtroom when Manzo Shepherd was murdered. So if all goes well, tomorrow night I'll be interviewing a person that was in that courtroom. He was about 7 or 8 years old. He's 86 now. So I wanted to let that out on Scarecast first, you know. So that's
awesome.
Let's
that's fantastic.
I thought it was unbelievable. Synchronicity, man. I mean, I didn't think anybody was left. But I started cross-referencing all the stuff. And then obviously I'm gonna look at the census, and I'm going to do this and that, and I'll ask him questions that only the son of Howard Hensley would know. But I feel very confident that this fellow's the real deal.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, let us know next week how that goes, okay?
I will.
And if you've got any if you have a tape of that it would be wonderful to get to hear some of that.
Oh.
So you and I can discuss that prior to the show next week and see
you
how that goes.
I'm
so that
get
would...
some, I'm going to absolutely get an interview out of it.
That's wonderful. We'll talk about that for next week. That'll make for some good material for Scarecast. And Devin Tate, what have you got going on? The world's greatest musician out there in Hollywood.
Oh, thanks. You're so kind. Well, I'm just actually going to be heading into the studio to work on some holiday music. So I hope to be able to share that all with you next month.
Oh, are you going to do some
that would be
songs?
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I am. Yeah, I have an original song that I wrote and performed last year around the holidays, but I never got around to recording it, so I'm going to try to record that and put that out.
Oh, wonderful.
That'll be wonderful. We won't play that on Scarecast, okay?
Oh, thank you. Of course.
Absolutely. I think it'll be just great. And Miss Robin, what have you got going on in the next week?
Well, I'm going to be Friday at PetSense in Orangeburg. We're going to have the animal rescue there. We're going to try to do 2 days a week. This week it'll only be one day because there's just not enough days and hours. But normally we try to do two a week, and then they'll be during the week. PetSense in Orangeburg from 12 to 4. Come visit us. We're going to have a ton of puppies and kittens and all those other fun things. So we'd love to see everybody.
That'll be great. Well, I'll definitely be in the area, and I'll come by and see all the fun and check out the puppies because that's always a lot of fun. So thanks a lot. That'll be great. And then you can come see Robin and I at the Barnyard in Lexington on Saturday and Sunday. That's right. Saturday and Sunday we'll be there with the Orange Blossom Express, bunch of brand new plants, peace lilies. Just all kinds of great stuff will be there, and so it'll be fun. You can come meet the crew down there, and if you're lucky, maybe Lizard Man will show up. And I've got a couple of announcements about some lizard man and Bigfoot sightings. Bigfoot is going to be the number two official mascot of the Clayton Rabun County Christmas Parade on December the 5th. So I'll be down there. The brand new Lizard Man / Bigfoot Mobile. It's a 1990 Chrysler Imperial. It is bigger. It's as big as an aircraft carrier, as Dr. Trey Donaway said. He said that thing is huge. So I'll be down there on December the 5th with Bigfoot in that, and it's going to be just a blast. So you got to be there for that. I don't think we're going to make the Christmas festival in Rabun County in Clayton, Georgia, on Black Friday. I don't think we are, because the car won't quite be ready. It's got one more thing. And Papa Stro, you know the dude that's helping put that together. That is none other than the Amazing Velvet. It's a car that he was gifted, and he's put that thing back together, and it's absolutely beautiful. So that's going to be the new Lizard Man Bigfoot Mobile. We're going to be premiering that December the 5th in Clayton, Georgia, at the Rabun County Christmas Parade. So that'll be a blast. And I want to say thank you to everybody being with us on our third anniversary show for Scary Cast. Devin, we made it for 3 years. Papa Stro, you've been here for 2 years. Everybody else has been here for a year, and thanks to everybody. Thanks to our guest Shane Hollis, such a good guest, and he and I have a lot to talk about. We're going to try to get him down here. We'll get him down to Robbins, and he can hang out. And Tony can come down and pop
and
a throw.
Shane, I'll get your contact information from John and send you those pictures.
Okay.
Okay. Great.
And that'll be wonderful. And you know what, Devin? If we do it far enough in advance, we can get you a cheap ticket from Los Angeles, and you can come out here, and the whole and Papa Stro and the whole crowd. Robin, we can have a cookout there, and see if the Bigfoots will show up. You know that they just might.
They usually do.
I want to say again, thanks to everybody for being with us on our third anniversary show. We've got a lot of great things coming down the pipe for Scary Cast this year. This is Dr. John saying, be safe, don't be scared, and have a great weekend. And we will see everybody next week on the one, the only Scary Cast. And I think Tony will be helping to provide the program. And who will that be? Who's that gentleman that you're going to be interviewing, we hope?
It will be Howard Hensley's son. That was in the courtroom when Manzo Shepherd was murdered. He was sitting two or three rows back, so hopefully I get a lot of good information from him about
the events
of that day.
And, Tony, would you also be sure to remind everybody about that story next week, just the whole Manzo Shepherd story, because a lot of folks may not have heard it, and we're going to be having a lot of new listeners starting here in about 5 weeks. So, you know, we'll ask you to tell the story of Manzo Shepherd and then get on with this great interview. So we got our next show planned. We're going to have a big year here at Scary Cast. Thanks to everybody. And Papa Stro, I guess I'll see you this Thursday night, because you do know that I've got what I believe to be the greatest female wrestler of all time working on, what's her name now?
Susan?
Yeah. Susan Green, right?
the great Susan Green. Oh yes, she is. Mm-hmm. I've had a wonderful time interviewing her every week as we put together the First Lady of Professional Wrestling, Susan Tex Green, and that's the name of her biography. And I found out a great piece of news. I did not know this, but her grandfather provided arms to Clyde Barrow of Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is.
And
that's interesting.
That is really awesome.
It is. She has got the most amazing family from Texas. And so we just got a lot. And she's introducing me to a number of her compatriots that she wrestled with, like Tony Rose and Diamond Lil. We'll have some statements from them about the Fabulous Moolah and about Susan Green and the whole world of wrestling back in the true glory days in the 60s and 70s. That's back before the internet kind of cast a shadow over wrestling And, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, I'll tell you, I was around in the 70s, and it was a lot of fun. We just didn't know as much, and it was just a great time. So, Papa Stro, we're looking forward to that show for sure. So thanks to everybody, and I'll be calling around to check with our co-hosts tonight. Shane, thanks. Shane, we'll have you back. You've got some really good
stories. We'll
talk
to you later, Shane. I'll send those pictures.
Okay.
Okay. Thank
you. All
right.
You guys
take
care.
You have a good
night. Bye-bye.
We'll see everybody next week on Scary Cast. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.